welcome to the October edition of Senior Connect, a monthly podcast of the Seniors Ministry at First Presbyterian Church of Columbia. I'm your host, Troy Cash, and today I am privileged to be joined by the Janet B. Altman. But before our conversation, a few announcements. It's time again to get out your Seniors Ministry messenger and look at all of the wonderful events that we've got going on in October. A couple events that have already occurred earlier this month. Our Couples in Action group went kayaking on Cedar Creek. If you'd like to catch a picture of our fearless leader, Reverend Brian Bolt, cheesing at the camera in his kayak, please feel free to contact Miss Janet Altman for that picture. A couple other events that have already taken place is our monthly Encouragers Breakfast and our Seniors Ministry Session Committee meetings. Coming up on the 13th of October is the Encouragers Steering Committee meeting, which takes place at 1 p.m. on the 13th in Lafitte Parlor in Jackson Hall. The next day on the 14th is the Encouragers Day Trip to the Skytop Orchard. This is in Flat Rock, North Carolina. The group that is going will leave the church around 9 a.m. and arrive back here around 5 p.m. On the 15th of October, we have our next lifelong learning seminar titled Dementia 101, and our speaker will be none other than Miss Janet Altman, giving you all of her 20-plus years experience. This seminar will take place in Jackson Hall. Breakfast foods will be available at 8:30 a.m., and will conclude sometime around 12 p.m. noon. On the 20th of October is our next Barnabas Ministry Prayer and Note Writing meeting. This meeting takes place at 1 p.m. in the WOC room of the Bridge. And lastly, two events coming up for our Couples in Action. The Steering Committee meeting takes place on the 25th at 5:30 p.m. And on the 30th, the Couples in Action are going to an event at the Rezegie Farm, Autumn on the Farm. Last year, we had roughly 35 couples join us, and we're anticipating that number to go up, having hopefully 40-plus couples join us, so we would love to see you there. And that's all of our announcements for today. So now to the conversation with Miss Janet B. Altman. Janet, thanks for coming in today. I'm so glad to have you here.
It is delightful to be here in the studio for the Senior Connect podcast.
Absolutely. And so we normally have one of our members who is active in the seniors ministry join us to talk about their personal story. And recently we've started sharing our testimony, how we've come to be active and involved with First Pres. And I thought that this month, why not have none other than the Janet B. Altman, the face of our seniors ministry, come in and share your story with us. So thank you for coming, and we can get right into it. So really the first question I would have for you is, how did you come to faith in Christ?
Thank you for asking. I never get tired of thinking about that and talking about it. I was 8 years old. I was in the third grade. It was on a Sunday evening. I do not recall what the minister preached on that Sunday evening. I remember sitting in the pew with my mother, my father, and three siblings. And I remember the conclusion of the service. And in that moment, as an eight-year-old, as people began to visit and mill around and people began to talk, I was overcome by a sense of my need for salvation. And I recall reaching over to my mother, who was talking to someone, and taking her by the hand to get her attention. And she said, "What is it, Janet?" And I said, "Mama, I need to be saved." And she said, "What did you say?" And I said, "Mama, I need to be saved." Well, she got very excited at that moment. The pastor was at the back door shaking hands, greeting people as they were leaving after the evening service. And she more or less shouted across the room, "Pastor, pastor, Janet says she needs to be saved." Well, he left the door there and came back up the aisle to the altar, and several ladies of my mother's age, several of her peers, saw what was going on, and they came up and sat on the front row in the sanctuary there. And I knelt with him, and he went through the plan of salvation using the Romans Road. Mm-hmm. And I confessed my sins and asked Christ to come into my heart. And as he began to pray for me, I remember the wood there on the railing of the altar was a dark wood that they had painted white for some reason. Mm. But as I opened my eyes, I could see places where the white paint had chipped away, and you could see the dark wood under the white paint. And it was as if I heard the Lord say, "Janet, just as this paint is covering this wood, so my blood has covered your sins, all of your sins, forever." And I remember rising from there and receiving hugs from several people, my mother primarily, my father, and these ladies, and them telling me, "We'll pray for you, Janet. We're going to pray for you. You're young. You're 8 years old, but God's going to use you, and we're going to pray for you." Mm-hmm. And I remember it felt as though I was sort of floating out the door of the church to the station wagon to get in to go home. And I remember that, although that was, let's see, over 50 years ago, I remember it clearly, so clearly. I can see it now, that church and that experience there and the confession of my sins and then the assurance of salvation, which I'm so thankful to have that assurance today. Mm-hmm. That was not just a child doing something for some reason. It was the Holy Spirit drawing me to himself and enabling me to believe. And I've never looked back. I've walked with the Lord. Not perfectly, of course, but I've walked with the Lord since that point.
What a blessing it is to have the assurance that that was the Lord working in your life at that moment. So from 8 years old to membership here in 2012 is a long period of time.
We became members in 2014. We did visit the first time in 2012, but we became members the fall of 2014. Yes.
So walk me through, if you will, walk me through how the Lord worked in your life to lead you from that little church in Lumberton, North Carolina.
That is correct.
To this big sanctuary here in Columbia.
Well, the highlights would be finishing high school in Lumberton and going to college at Tocoa Falls College, getting a degree in Christian education, marrying Steve Altman and becoming Janet B. Altman, and having our two sons, and being in pastoral ministry with my husband for 27 years in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, the CMA, and then him leaving his church in Lexington and us looking for a new place to worship since he was no longer pastoring, and visiting churches in Columbia. And then one day we got up in the fall, right after Thanksgiving in 2012, and Steve said, "You know what? We have never visited First Pres." And Dr. Sinclair Ferguson is the pastor there, and I just don't know why we didn't just visit there months ago. And so we came right around just after Thanksgiving in 2012. It was during Advent. And the minute we came in the door off of Marion Street, it just felt like home. Mm. The sanctuary smelled right. It looked right. It was laid out right. And when I say right, I mean it was laid out in a way that was familiar to me, that seemed appropriate, and it was very welcoming to me. We loved the organ. We loved the choir. We loved the message that was brought. The Lord truly brought us to First Pres that fall of 2012. And then we attended, and then we went through the inquirer's class and were accepted as new members. And we're presented to the church in the fall of 2014 on a Sunday morning. And then, who would have thunk it, in May of 2019, I came on staff as seniors ministry coordinator. Yeah. So well, that's it.
But before you came on staff, what was the transition like from working and being involved vocationally in ministry for so many years to joining a church as a member?
It was a lot less work. Took a lot less effort. The 27 years that Steve pastored, I did a lot of things which I loved doing, really enjoyed doing. But it was nice, I have to say.
Which I'm assuming music was one of them.
Oh, yes. I led worship and all sorts of things. Oh, yes. You name it. I was one of those pastors' wives that did it all.
I've ascertained that you have some musical talents.
I do enjoy music. I do enjoy music a great deal. And the music was involved and teaching and organizing and all those things. But coming here, walking in and sitting down as one in the pew, one who was not expected to particularly do anything that Sunday or the next Sunday, you know, to be able to hear the teaching and the preaching and to receive it all. And it was good. It was necessary. It was important. Mm-hmm. It was valuable. Mm-hmm. It was good for us, for Steve and myself to come in and be a part of this congregation in those early months and even the years before I was approached about the staff position.
Yeah. Do you think it felt like a refreshment for you and served to, I guess, reinvigorate ability to go into ministry again?
Absolutely. True statement. Yeah. Yes, it was needful. We just gained a lot of perspective, I think, and we brought perspective as well. And we've not been disappointed at all by what's happened here and really feel so fortunate to be a part of this congregation and to be able to serve as we do.
Mm. Well, the position you hold here is Seniors Ministry Coordinator, very specific position that wasn't a position before you came here. So tell me how that came about. What experience did you have that led you into that position? And then now here at First Pres, how have you seen the Lord's work in your work and your life before coming to First Pres? Have you seen the Lord work from that into what you're doing now?
The job description that was created here for a seniors ministry coordinator had a list of tasks and experience needed and knowledge needed and that sort of thing. And it was interesting when I saw the job description and I laid my resume beside it. It was like, just, you know, connect the dots, draw a line from this one to this one and this one. You know, the Lord has certainly prepared me and has prepared me for the work I'm doing now. Mm. There's no question. It all fits together in the grand design. And that is a wonderful thing to have that assurance that it's all been for a purpose to come to this point, for which we are very thankful. And I used to, when I would speak sometimes in the past to ladies' groups, things like that, there was an analogy I would see between my life and the life of Joseph. You know, that may seem to be a little bit of a reach there, but, and I like alliteration, and I used to say, you know, that Joseph went from being his father's pet, there's the P word, pet, to being in the pit, placed there by his brothers who were jealous, to being in the home of Potiphar, to being in prison, to being
the prime minister of Egypt,
right?
Right.
And oftentimes I could sort of say to myself, well, this is the pit. I'm in the pit for whatever reason. Or I'm feeling that I'm the pet. God's really doing things for me. I feel like I've got a little special attention from the Lord, you know. I always could find some sort of a connection, analogy, similarity between me and the life of Joseph. And truly, Joseph's final destination ultimately was the prime minister role in Egypt. And he had control over all that grain and the food and carried that country, that nation, and that region through famine by his planning, his God-ordained planning and placement. I'm using a lot of P words here. Yes.
You're going on six, I'm counting.
So I'm just saying that coming on staff seemed to be the next thing in God's plan for me. Mm.
And he used the experience that you had, which was directing at senior living communities?
I worked in sales and marketing, and I worked in some day programs with senior adults, and I worked with a nonprofit called the South Carolina Respite Coalition, helping family caregivers find resources and places where they could have rest so there could be good care for their aging parent or their child with a disability so they could have a break, and worked in churches and worked at the state house learning about resources at the county level, the state level, and national organizations. So just have gained over the last years a sort of a big picture of all that's involved in the aging process and some of the things that people face, some of the hurdles, some of the hindrances, some of the problems, some of the testing that goes on, some of the medical things and emotional things and psychological things, and just seeing it firsthand, not a clinician, no formal medical training. Let me say that again, no formal medical training, but lots of experience in those contexts, and lots of reading and lots of going to conferences and seminars and just gaining information that seemed to have stuck in my brain more than other things, shall we say.
Well, sure. So what first got you into caring for seniors?
When I went to Florida, Steve and I and our two sons, who were at that time kindergarten and second grade, and Steve wanted to pursue his master's at RTS Orlando. At that time, it was in Maitland, Florida. And we lived in Altamont Springs, Florida, and we were there for him to pursue that. Some things got in the way. I injured myself at work. I was working in a large facility with nursing home patients. And the article that I wrote for First Things that will be out this week kind of delineates that process of me working in Florida Manor. And that's where it began. That's the beginning point of my interest and being drawn to the aging population. That was where it all started.
Well, we do see a very explicit notion in Scripture, especially in the forming of the early church, of care for seniors. A very explicit call to care for our families, and specifically the older members of our families. And you can see this at the heart of the covenant family. So how has caring for the seniors of our covenant family here at First Pres possibly differed from ways that you've cared for seniors in the past, but also how has the Lord grown your vision for how he cares for those particular members of our church family?
I've encountered many, many hundreds of families since I've been in Columbia for 21 years who are they themselves aging or their families are aging, and they have concerns and problems and difficulties. And I've often been able to, on a personal level, share Scripture with them, pray with them, encourage them that way. But I've not ever really worked for an organization where I could do that openly. And so it's really great. It is really beyond words what it's like to be able to freely talk to someone when they're facing a decision or a struggle or a disease or a concern or a fear, and to go straight to the Word, straight to the Lord in prayer. That's wonderful to be able to do that freely and to have the folk appreciate that and say, yes, that's what I needed to hear. That is what I had forgotten about. That is the thing that I need to remember. And it's the Word of God, and it's His Spirit applying those things. So that is a huge difference. To work in the secular world is one thing. To work here among the people of God, it's a different thing.
Sure. I heard it put recently, I believe it was this past Wednesday at our latest CenterPoint meeting, drew a comparison of how we often think of our physical needs first. And the comparison was drawn between Christ and the woman he encountered at the well. She came for a physical need of needing some water. And of course, Christ was very intentional to let her know that the water that she sought would run out, but the water that he gave was eternal. And I really appreciated that reference that we often think of our physical needs, and the Lord shows us our deeper spiritual need. And the reason I bring that up is because I think that it is freeing to work within the body of Christ, and knowing that we can share His Word, which is our deepest need. And it is pervasive of every season and place in life, whether from birth to our oldest members.
I agree completely. It gives me great joy and satisfaction and peace to be able to share freely within this congregation. And even outside the congregation, there are contacts I've made that are friends of members, neighbors of members, family members of members, where they also need to hear the Word and to be prayed for, to be encouraged. And that's also a privilege.
Well, thank you for sharing some of your personal story, a lot of the ways that you're working in and among God's people here at First Pres. And one question that I like to ask everyone. I will extend that same question to you, is how can we be in prayer for Janet Alton?
Thank you for the question. My daily prayer for myself is that I will hear the voice of the Lord and walk in that path, that I will not be distracted or deterred. So that would be my prayer, that God would keep me focused and moving in the right direction for His glory.
Absolutely. Well, that will be our prayer as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your time and your story with us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us again to listen to the Senior Connect podcast. If there are any needs you have or any issues that we may be able to assist with, please call the Pastoral Care phone line at 803-513-7931. And as we conclude this episode, amidst a season where leaves are falling and the colors of the trees are changing, hear this eternal truth of God's promise for His people in His Word that remains the same. It comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 7 and 8. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.